and being idiots.
And I've engaged with you enough, and you, I've met you multiple times at symposium and stuff. And I'm like, dude, is Kurt really an asshole?
Right. So what's hilarious? So that Christmas video, my daughter knows Kurt. We hang out. Her, like, our kids hang out. Like, she knows who Kurt is. Sees him almost every single day. She is so upset at how Kurt treats me in those videos. Like, she is really like, Daddy, I don't like the way Mr. Kurt treats you. Like, I don't know if she thinks that's how I'm treated at work, but, like, it is. Yes. Every time she sees it, she's like, I don't like that.
So what?
Photography a little bit. I was writing for Recoil magazine. Oh, really? And you needed pictures for Glock sites.
Yeah.
And then after that, you needed somebody for customer service. And I messaged you, and you're like, I don't think I can actually afford you. And I was like, you'll be surprised what an unemployed person will work for. My only stipulation is I need to work from home, and I need to be extremely flexible. Because I've got two kids, and one of them's on the, at the time, she was diagnosed with being autistic. And we've since learned that is not the case.
Oh. Well, that's
and so
thing,
interesting. So other stuff. So I was like, yeah, basically, dude, if I work for you, I need to be able to work from home. And if I'm not working from home, you got me between like the hours of 8:30 and 3. So
was it just like a misdiagnosis or like what?
It's
like,
a whole dude, whole different thing. We were in a house that had mold.
I actually have heard about that.
And so like that was happening. And then
there was something, my brother, one of his wife's friends, same thing, like the kid started having like really bad eczema breaking out, and they moved, and they just like it went away. It was an environmental thing with where they were at.
Mold will fuck you up. And I mean, like, the whole family was messed up, all were having issues. There's something even called mold rage.
It wasn't on a military base. Mold.
No,
it wasn't while you were in.
No, I'm serious.
That's crazy.
Because it just messes with your whole system.
I'm sure.
Because you're breathing in these toxins. Hormone issues.
That's why you see people freaking out over, like, the barracks when they're covered in mold and stuff like that.
Those,
like,
barracks photos are insane.
It's bad. It's bad. And so my 3-year-old was diagnosed being autistic. Was in special needs programs, you couldn't have a conversation with her. She wasn't really talking, doing the whole eye contact thing. We moved out, and within 2 weeks, we saw a shift. And within a year, I can remember having the first conversation.
That's just one of those you're like, wow, what if we had moved
now forward? I'm going to cry.
Jesus Christ.
For like, I mean, like literally driving to school and she's like, cause she wouldn't initiate a conversation with you. Right. She wouldn't start a conversation. You would have to, hey, Elsa.
Yeah.
How is this? And she'd give you a little answer or whatever, talk some random stuff. Mm-hmm. And one day she's like, Dad, why don't you have a lightsaber?
Oh man. What a great that conversation too.
Yeah. I'm like, that's a very interesting question because why do I not have a lightsaber?
I don't know.
And she's like, Tito's dad has a lightsaber and so-and-so's dad has a lightsaber. Why don't you have a lightsaber? Well, why the fuck don't I have a lightsaber?
That is a very good
I'm about
question.
To get one. So.
But yeah. Away now. So that was like the first
take a day off from school.
Yeah. Like a conversation on her own randomly. And that was, man, probably 6 months after we moved out of the house.
Wow.
That's awesome though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's pretty
good.
Cool.
Good news for you.
Yeah. So really it's, she still has some issues, but we're working through that. So I'll leave that on the podcast so you understand what we've been doing for the past 3 years and 4 years now, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how Ike found me and how I ended up here and just kind of.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, welcome to the Big Tech Soreness podcast. Today you have me, I'm Ike. We also have Chris and then the Blue Alpha guys. So going around, we've got Kurt, Jesse, and then down there on the end, we got Steven. So they took some time out of their busy day to come up and goof off with us for an hour or so.
Yeah.
Kurt already finished his fancy pedia light.
Yeah, we have some traditions going now, and it's I wear my my SHOT Show walkers, okay, my nice New Balances, and I drink a pedia light. Purple. Get that purple Pedialyte out
of the
fancy
glass. Sorry,
we didn't
have a martini glass. Yes. You had to settle for a wine glass of some sort.
Yeah. It was still delicious.
Is it purple flavored or is it grape?
Depends on who you ask. I'm saying purple.
Purple. Okay.
We're asking Kurt right now.
Yeah.
You're not a fed, then. That's the first. You know you're not a cop if they say, oh, that's grape flavored. Are you a cop?
You have to tell me if you're a cop.
Yeah, you have to tell me now. I know how this works because if you're like that white or that purple. All right, cool. So I'm going to steer us completely back away from the podcast topics right quick and talk about cycling.
Yes. Oh, my God. I laughed so hard about that. I don't know where that came from. I've never met the guy. So I'm excited to meet him while he's here, if he's here. I can't remember his name right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a friend of ours send that to us, and I changed it in like my bio. I'm a champion cyclist now. Like, I don't know where that came from, but I laughed. That was one of the hardest I've laughed in a minute.
So how did that go again? It was
who was it?
So no, you were talking about
tall people.
Yeah, you guys were talking about tall people, and then I think you brought up the tall guy from Blue Alpha, and then Ian was like, oh, Steve, we send memes all the time back and forth.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, did you know? And then what was the guy's name?
He's a world-class cyclist.
Yeah, what was the guy's name?
He's a really accomplished cyclist.
Yeah.
And we laughed so hard at that.
Do you think he was just bullshitting us, or do you think he would have
mistaken me for it?
He got his wires crossed.
If not, that was the greatest bullshit I've ever seen in my life.
I was like, that doesn't make any physical sense. I've never seen somebody that big on a bicycle, and then I see you on a motorcycle, and it's actually a full size motorcycle, except for with both of you on it, it looks like you're riding a fucking mini bike.
Yeah.
So that steers us into the conversation of I have to give it to y'all on your social media content, dudes.
Thank you.
Y'all are freaking killing it.
Thank you.
And if you're doing it all internally and you're coming up with those ideas, fantastic job.
So is that y'all just like being goofballs or?
So I will say that a lot of our best content comes from we're out there doing like something relatively serious and we just are joking around the entire time we're out there. And then it will turn into like, well, we got to film that now. And like that, like the 22 video that we did where it started off with this like really serious, like cool action shots of me with my bolt action rifle. We're in like this shipping container shoot house. We're shooting out of it. And Steven's behind me with his spotting scope. He's going to call the shots for me. I'm the sniper. He's the spotter. And then, it's like cool rock music playing. And then it just cuts to the camera, a wide angle. And I'm laying on the ground in prone, except I have my feet pointed vertically. And Steven's sitting on the bottom of my feet with the spotting scope on top of me. And
it's a technique.
We did that. Like, but, it was just us joking around. And then I guess we got to film it.
Yeah, that was just one of those. We did it. And then our camera guy, Jeff, with Chambered Media, he's like, okay, hey, I got this thing. We're just going to make this like way – it's going to go way harder than it ever should.
Yeah.
And it just rolled into that. And then that was half the morning right there of filming. Yep. And it turned out to be just a fantastic video.
Yep. Yeah. And then like the Dumb and Dumber one we just did last week, that was Jesse's idea originally.
Thank you.
And Steven and I ran with
they
it.
They executed well.
And and one of the things that Steven and I joke about a lot is we will, like that day we had filmed three normal informational YouTube videos, which are, they're an important thing that we have to do. And Steven and I sometimes will just struggle to get through those videos where we're trying to get this information across and articulate it. And try to
complete a full sentence. No business selling belts.
Yeah,
listen to the.
Yeah, because we just sometimes we'll one take that stuff.
Yeah,
and sometimes it is just like trudging through mud to get through it, and then we film these silly videos and we one take them every time. Like one shot, we nail it. It's just like it comes so naturally to us, and it's just funny how like when it's time to be an idiot. We're naturals.
That's how it is with any of the hilarious stuff. Like the, I don't know if you remember, we did the wrapped hybrid EDC belt with our buddy Tyler.
And that entire shot was one giant take. He did it all completely the first time. Yeah. He had a small hiccup there where he forgot where he had hid the belts and the peanuts. He found it and kept rolling. Like, the entire video was one complete shot. Like, all the dumb stuff is just...
Yeah, and if anyone wants to see that, look up Wrapped Hybrid Belts.
Tyler's hilarious, man.
On our YouTube channel.
There were some pretty dangerous moments in that, too. Yeah. Like, that tractor?
Yeah.
Like, he just jumped out of it. Yes. And then somebody had to, jump in.
Yeah, Steven had to, chase the tractor down because he left it in gear.
It was going slow enough, but still, jumping into a moving tractor.
Yeah. There's some really, really... just silly stuff that we've, especially this past year, we have filmed some really silly stuff.
Was it this year y'all did the Christmas or last year?
Last year we did the Christmas video, which was one of our favorites. And again, it was another video where that was one of the more complex videos we've ever filmed. And we crushed it. We just went through it in one take, almost the entire thing. And, individual one takes, but we told the whole story so naturally because it was just, I don't know, that's our specialty is being idiots.
And I've engaged with you enough, and I've met you multiple times at symposium and stuff. And I'm like, dude, is Kurt really an asshole?
Right. So what's hilarious? So that Christmas video, my daughter knows Kurt. We hang out. Our kids hang out. She knows who Kurt is. Yeah. She sees him almost every single day. She is so upset at how Kurt treats me in those videos. she is really like, Daddy, I don't like the way Mr. Kurt treats you. I don't know if she thinks that's how I'm treated at work, but it is. Yes. Every time she sees it, she's like, I don't like that.
So what came from, how that started is we originally bought some silly inflatable or otherwise Christmas outfits. Yeah. And we were going to do some dumb marketing videos. And we started doing those, we started filming these reels because we have these Christmas combos that we do every year. And we decided to film a little ridiculous ad for each Christmas combo explaining the combo. And then we did that all in one day. And while we were filming them, I was realizing, because I was dressed up like a candy cane man. And I was realizing that I was developing a story arc for myself, and I was just going to a darker and darker place every single time. And I was really having fun just becoming this guy who's this kind of crazed candy cane man who's trying to sell you all these Blue Alpha products. And then that inspired us to make a full video. And the video is basically me, the boss, who, is obsessed with Christmas and wants everyone to be in the Christmas spirit, but he's just a maniac and he's losing touch with reality and losing control. At one point there's a shot office style, peeking through the window into the break room. And I'm in there in my candy cane outfit, just drinking eggnog right out of the jug and just losing touch with reality. Yeah. And, it's a fine piece of art that we created. And
I think
about 36 people watched it on our YouTube channel. Criminally underwatched. Yeah.
Well, you could, rebrand it next year and use it again. And then you have a whole new audience that YouTube might show it to or might just not.
Yeah. And another fun one that happened this year is we filmed a video of the Argus mount, which is a night vision mount that competes with the Wilcox mounts. And we were trying to figure out a way to kind of make the video more fun because it's pretty cut and dry. Hey, this thing works pretty good. And Steven, at one point, when we were filming a promo for the video, before we had filmed the video, he quoted a rap.
Jeff was like, so the Argus mount, something, so I can't remember what it was. He was like, and I know what you're asking. Are the rims big and do it ride good? And then that went down this whole,
rabbit hole. We filmed this, that video, if people watch it, it's 1 or 2 minutes of Steven describing this mount. And then it's a full 3-minute rap video at the end of it. For no reason. But we filmed a rap video of basically that song, and we had our buddy, because it's the lyrics are cream on the outside, clean on the inside, and we got our buddy who's got this big lifted F-250 with chrome rims on it. We had him come out, and we got this baller shots of him rolling up, and then it cuts to the shot of him doing donuts in the dirt. It's just cream on the outside, clean on the inside. And Steven's got gold chains and the two night vision mounts, and he's just basically flexing for the camera. And it goes so unnecessarily hard, and it is so confusing for anyone who's probably watching it. It just cuts to basically this rap video at the end of it.
I need to go watch that video.
Yes.
I will link that video in the YouTube.
It is absurd. And it's, but that we get inspired by like what makes us laugh.
Yeah.
Cause like when we're filming or doing anything, we're constantly like goofing around with each other, as I'm sure you guys are too. That's what makes like jobs and extra enjoyable, is you get to put yourself around people that you like and screw around with them a bunch. And when we're filming, we are constantly trying to screw around and make jokes with each other.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And yeah. So there's, awesome. We have all kinds of ideas that are probably way too dark to ever end up on any film, but we at least pitch them to each other just to make each other laugh.
We've got an album of sticker designs that are not allowed to be released to the public.
Yeah.
After this, I have a video I'm going to show you.
Awesome.
Yeah. It will never be posted online.
Yeah. Y'all saw the BTO gear commercial with the flamethrower?
Yes.
Right. So yep. Tell them about Maddie and the flamethrower.
Oh, yeah. So we're setting up. Okay. We got it set up. I tested out the flamethrower, did it once just to make sure it turned on. I was like, okay, cool. So I was like, okay, let's run through it dry real quick. You know, we'll do everything. So Maddie gets up there. We go. And I was like, yeah, just a couple dry takes real quick. So we run through everything. And then Maddie just gets the flamethrower. And you can see my face on it. I'm like, oh. And then I jump back into it, you know, like to say my line for the next one or whatever. And then we finish up. And then I was like, was the camera rolling? And Brendan's like, yeah, luckily I hit record.
We had one mannequin.
But we had one mannequin.
Like,
I
bought one mannequin. Oh, like I bought one mannequin. So you had one shot to hit this mannequin with the flamethrower because it was going to be done.
If you watch the outtakes, me and Josh are like, we kind of like jump a little bit. We're like, oh, I guess this is for real.
And Maddie's like this. Yeah,
just burning it down.
Burning the motherfucker down. And like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I had something come up that day. So we'd wrote the commercial and I'm like, I can't be there for filming because like a kid was sick or something. I'm like, okay, cool. And then Brendan messages me and he's like, Maddie hit the flamethrower early. And I'm like, I ordered one mannequin. Like now I'm like thinking, like, we've got to set this all back up again. We got to order another mannequin. We got to do it. They're like, no, it takes good. I was like, oh, thank God.
It went perfectly. Like, Brendan was rolling and everything. And then like, me and Josh didn't freak out and like, we just kind of rolled with it or whatever. But yeah, it made for a really good blooper. Blooper reel.
Yeah. That's cool.
It turned out, the shot turned out great, though.
Yeah, it turned out really good. So tell me about, we were talking about it before we got into this, more on your social media, the kid.
Our most hated.
Yeah, our most hated, it was just a reel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were filming, and we were in the shop, and we have a bunch of nice ladies that work for us, and some of them... we end up hiring their kids who are in high school and they come and help out as well. So we have this interesting dynamic where sometimes we have parents and their kids working for us at the same time. And there's kind of some benefits to that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they got to act right because mom's there.
Yeah.
So we were wrapping up filming with something and Karen, one of our managers comes in. She's like, hey, you should use my son in a video. He would love to do something. I was like, well, like, yeah, have him put a shirt on him. Like, we'll do something. We weren't like, I think we were done filming that day. And that was like the last video we were shooting that day. And so he put it on. And I was like, okay, I need you. I don't know how you could speak.
Yeah, basically you. Like go like full Gen Z.
Yeah. I need you to just like, I was like, and I'm just going to try and like ride off of whatever wave you're on.
So basically he went like full Gen Z, like talking about, the fanny pack is bussing and all that. And Steven's basically like the hype man, like hyping him up. And it made us laugh because the video started off with like his mom walking in front of the camera and he's like, God, mom, get out of the camera. Like, just like this entitled high school brat.
Yeah. I think it started off with, bruh, mom.
Bruh.
Yeah. It was hilarious.
And it made us laugh super hard because it was every Gen Z stereotype you could think of basically distilled into one short video. And we thought it was really funny, and a lot of people thought it was really funny, but we made some people very mad because they hate those stereotypes so much that they lost their sense of humor.
Yeah. People were messaging like, I'll never buy from you again.
Yeah.
It was like, it wasn't a lot, but it was enough for us. We were just like,
okay. Cool. Yeah. Like,
but it, like there was a lot of folks who were like,
know your audience, fire whoever's doing your social media. Yeah.
And then there are the people who are like, oh, that was really hard to watch, and I appreciate how well done that
was. Yeah, I would say like 95%
yeah, because it is, I mean, positive. it is intentionally super cringy because it's making fun of, you know, Gen Z and how they talk, you know, kids these days, yeah, right? We're all old now. We're not hip.
Yeah. Right, we're the SHOT Show. I'm in the 35 to 44 year old.
Yeah, you're 44.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You jumped up the next bracket.
Yeah, he's 44. Yeah. We're the same age.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, according to the SHOT Show, I might as well be 44.
Yep. So.
Yeah. Well, that's.
They don't distinguish between the two.
No. Yep. Yeah.
That's well, you can definitely distinguish the age group. That's the 79 to 93 crowd downstairs.
I did see a guy. I told Kurt yesterday, I can't wait to be this age. He was wearing a denim button down with the Corvette logo, and I was like,
yeah,
I'm excited.
That's you.
Yeah, I'm starting with the shoes, and I'm gonna work my way up. Yeah. So I got my boomer shoes on today. But it's like walking on clouds, you know.
It's a totally interesting
next year. Then things are gonna be green, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, they're earning yeah, lawnmower
they
duty.
Get the grass stains.
Yeah, they gotta get some work in and earn their way to get lawnmower duty.
And you've got
to
get a new pair to.
Then you got a new pair to replace those.
They gotta be shiny white, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So
is it bad that I have a pair of shoes that I wear for mowing the yard specifically?
That's natural, common. Man. That's just part of life.
Is it normal? Am I out of that age bracket?
No. I'm no, cool. It's okay to accept that, man. Like okay. It's fine. Okay.
Like, you can be whatever you want to be.
Yeah. So
cool. That's what they told you growing up, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they told me to join the army. Be all you can be.
Be all you can.
That's how long ago that was.
Classic. Yeah. Oh yeah. That is a classic.
When did that end? That seemed like just
early
2000s.
Early 2000s. They went into the army of one.
Oh, you know, yeah.
That didn't work out well, and then they went back. I don't even know what they're at right now. They're just please fucking join.
But right now it's like, hey. Do you want to stay in?
Yeah.
Or would you just like to join?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We really need these numbers right now.
We need the numbers. We got to bump these numbers up.
Yep. Yeah.
So enough about social media and all that good stuff. Tell us a little bit about Blue Alpha. What do y'all do, man?
So
besides kick-ass videos.
Yeah. So the stuff that actually makes money is so we're interesting in that we're a we're like an all-in-one manufacturer. Online retailer, everything from top to bottom. So we're known for belts. You know, we're a sewing shop. We sew a bunch of stuff, and belts is kind of the bread and butter for us. And then, you know, branching out from belts, a lot of things that attach to belts. And then just other sewn soft good items that are relevant to our customers and the firearms industry. But we control wholesale. We control our own manufacturing. We control our own retail sales and customer service all under one roof. And that makes us fairly unique. And it's kind of a point of pride for us because it's very, very difficult to do that.
Yeah.
And it's rewarding to do that both for us and for our customers because we are able to find a lot of efficiencies by controlling the entire process. And that helps us become, you know, provide a better value because we can not have crazy high prices. We try to have really fair, good prices that are everything's, you know, a good value for what we provide. So, that's kind of like, that's what we're proud of is that we can do all of that in one place and then make a bunch of cool stuff and you know, innovate in what we're making. And, I'd say we've done a lot of innovation in the past year alone. We've come out with a whole bunch of new products. And our theme kind of has been lightweight over the past year. Mm-hmm. Like just how can we make stuff that like when you're holding it, it feels like it's made of air.
Yeah.
And when you package all that stuff together, like the whole package is so, so much lighter. And that's what we've been doing the past year. So, yeah.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Chris from Big Tech's
Ordnance. And I'm Ian. From Big Tech's
Ordnance. And today we've got the weekly update. So first off, from Voltor is the classic Murr upper receivers, right? So we've got them in foliage green, black, standard black. Those were my picks. What do you got over there?
For all the wheel gun enthusiasts out there, we've started carrying some Safariland Comp 3 and Comp 2 speed loaders for J frames and K frames. So if you guys need a good speed loader, for all of your revolver needs, we got some. We have the new Streamlight Wedge XT also. These come in black and FDE. Great little task light. You know, drop your keys underneath the couch. You're looking for your burrito. Good little option from Streamlight. Comes with a little lanyard on it as well.
Solid price point on those. I'll have to reference the price point on
USB-C
those.
USB-C rechargeable, and it has a deep carry pocket clip on it.
Yeah, so option.
Looks great.
Coming up, there's a bunch of classes. We've got Paradox training. Going to be across the street at the range. Doing that the 27th, not this weekend, but next weekend. Anyway, lots of training events coming up. We just also posted the Sons of Liberty.
Oh, yeah, the Armorers
class. Armorers class in May. It's up on the website. Anyway, thanks for watching.
Be safe.
Finger guns.
Y'all both worked at the airline? Did y'all all three work at the airline?
All three of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, used to work for Delta Airlines. So Jesse and I started Blue Alpha back in 2016. We bought a used sewing machine off of eBay. Was it eBay?
No, we went to a place. Well, I went to a place in downtown Atlanta.
Okay.
It was kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. An old brick building, and this guy named Mel was there.
Yeah.
And
you buy a used sewing machine from a guy named Mel.
Yeah. He was a used sewing machine salesman.
Yeah.
In fact, I still have the video of me recording. I remember sending you guys videos and being like, I think this is right. We bought a used
sewing machine.
255 yeah,
Jesse,
RB.
So. Jesse learned how to sew on that machine. And the sewing machine was in like his garage, which was really like one third. It was like a workshop,
very
really.
Small.
Very small workshop.
Yeah. It's the size of this bathroom here.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah. And we kind of built the business from there. So we started making just EDC belts, very simple belts. And the business was, I guess, Jesse and I were looking to get into the firearms industry. And what led us to sewing in belts was I had a bad experience buying a belt online. So I was complaining about that experience to Jesse because we worked together. And I had basically felt like I had overpaid for a belt and then really got screwed on shipping as well. So the shipping cost was like really, really high. And it was this big USPS priority mailbox that was almost entirely air with just like a loose belt in it and no extra packaging. And they charged a ton of money for that. And I was complaining about that. And, I was like, man, I did a bunch of research and like, these were like basically like the guys to go with. And Jesse and I talked about it and we realized maybe there's an opportunity here. And obviously it turns out there was, but back when we started, especially, it felt like anyone who was making belts, it was like a side thing for them. Like they're known for this, but they also make belts.
Yeah.
And it led to, I would say a lot of these manufacturers kind of half-assing belts. So we were like, well, what if we pull ass belts? Like, what would that be like? And it turned out
that should have been the company name.
Yeah, yeah.
Whole ass belts.
Yeah.
It holds your pants up. Yeah, it covers your whole ass.
Yeah. And it turned out that actually worked really well for us. And in 2016, back then when we started the business, the gun industry was booming pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I think when industries as a whole are doing well, like really, really well, they kind of let off the gas a little bit on some things, and I think customer service was one of the major things that was kind of being ignored, and I think you guys have built Big Techs kind of in a similar way, where if you just kind of focus on customer service, like you can conquer the world, because in our industry, sometimes it's one of the first things to get ignored.
Mm. Yeah, when me and Maddie started it, like, you know, back in 2014, and then kind of up till 2016, 2017 was really when we started, you know, gaining some traction. But that was what we basically built it up around, was just like the really good customer service. Because that was the gap that we saw at the time. Like, it was just lacking across the whole.
Yeah. When Jesse and I started researching belts, like, does this make sense? Should we pursue making belts? We were going to websites and reading reviews. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the reviews were like, the product's great, but like, I had to wait forever to get it, or their communication wasn't good, or I bought a belt and it was the wrong size and I reached out to them about that, and they basically told me, you know, too bad.
Yeah, sorry deal about with
it.
You.
Yeah, well, sorry about your luck. Go ahead and, you know, sell it to your buddy. Yeah. And then buy a new one in the correct size.
Well, when we aggregated that, I remember coming up with a spreadsheet, kind of reviewing the reviews, you know. Yeah. And one of the big ones was that a lot of belt companies would come up with like 4, maybe 5 sizes. Mm-hmm. And so you would have a medium, let's say a medium is like, you know, 32 to 36 or something like that. Well, there's a lot of people that may fall within that, but you could also be on the edge of that.
Yeah.
And the people on the edges were very unhappy.
If medium ends at 36 and large starts at 38, like you've got a gap there.
Yeah.
And you've got this range where people are getting a belt that's either too big or too small. And so we did the difficult thing of making belts in each individual pant size and building in an overlap. So a size 34 belt can be adjusted down to size 32, but adjusted up to size 36.
Yep.
But if you're a set pant size 34, we want you to order a size 34 belt. That way, when you get your belt, you are starting day one in the middle of the adjustment range. And then, you know, Thanksgiving dinners, you can, you know, adjust in one direction. And then when you get that summer body going,
get your beach bod ready.
Beach body, then you can, you know, adjust in the other direction. And that is it seems kind of obvious to make that, like, that's an important thing that people were overlooking because they didn't want to have a bunch of SKUs.
Yeah, I was going to say they're trying to keep
their SKUs. Yeah, it was an inventory.
It's a business decision at that point.
It's half-assing it. Yeah. You know, like, hey, what if we did this and then we only had 4 SKUs instead of, you know, 11 SKUs? It's like, well, you know, if you did 11 SKUs, you'd make a lot of people a lot more happy.
Yep,
so that's what we did. And it's harder. It's definitely more difficult, but it's the right thing to do. And then we had other foundational things that we did customer service wise. We developed a free sizing exchange program that if someone fills out a form or fills something out on our website, we'll be notified. We'll ship them their new belt in the new size with a return mailer for their old belt.
Yep.
So there's a moment there where they have two of our belts.
Yeah.
And we're putting trust to them to be like, hey, you know, we made it easier for you. Here's the mailer. It's already pre-labeled. You just have to take the belt that didn't fit, put it back in the mailer, and you can do the whole exchange right at the mailbox. And I think that earned us a lot of respect from customers because they're like, oh, they're entrusting me with both of the belts at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it's more convenient. You know, why? If we have to wait for them to ship it back and then we receive it and we ship them the new one, it's a long time.
It is. It's a complicated thing. Yeah. And honestly, you guys know this, I'm sure, but like getting a customer to send you something back is exceptionally difficult.
Yeah, it's not necessarily because they're trying to rip you off.
No, it's just
kind of a pain.
Yeah. They have to go to the post office.
Yeah.
Like,
and they're like, I'll do it tomorrow. And it's like, oh, and that it ends up not working out. And then, well, I'll do it tomorrow again. So if you make it easy for them, you just make the whole experience more convenient for them and for us. And we had to, you know, we had to put some trust in them through that process, but that's okay. Like, it's worked out really well. We get everything back, almost entirely everything back. And if someone doesn't send something back to us, it's usually they mean well, and you send them an email and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I completely forgot. And then they throw it in the mail. So we have good customers who, you know, are not trying to screw us over, and that allows us to treat them really well and give them the benefit of the doubt and provide good customer service to them. And they appreciate it. So it's a good system that works really well. So, free sizing exchanges, free shipping, you know, answering emails. Like there's times where, you know, we would answer an email a day after it would come in and we're thinking like, oh, it feels like, sorry, it took a whole day for us to answer this email.
Yeah.
They're like, no, like, I can't believe you answered my email already. They're like, so shocked. They're,
yeah.
Everyone else we email doesn't answer at all. Or, you know, waits a week.
Yeah.
So, what feels like pretty low hanging fruit from a customer service perspective, is apparently still overlooked by a lot of companies.
Yeah.
So
it's an investment that you have to make to be able to handle that. And, you know, some companies just don't.
Yeah. And it's a constant thing that takes work to completely do. Mm-hmm. And like, we've transitioned to where like we've come full circle. It's like, okay, now we've got to really look at this because we didn't look at it hard enough for a long time, and now we're circling back, and everybody's like, but your customer service is still amazing. I'm like, actually, we're working on it, and now we're doing this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. And so what was amazing is going to be more amazing-er.
Yeah.
Amazing-er?
Amazing-er.
Yes. Amazing-er? Yeah, like amazing-er.
Most amazing-er.
The most amazing. Yeah.
And I think our industry has a lot of people who are really good at making stuff, but they're not good at communicating.
Yep.
And they may even have really good intentions from a customer service perspective, but they're just good at making things and they're not good communicators. And so their customer service suffers because of that. That's just a low priority or something they don't understand well.
That's one of the things that we're doing too. Like we're kind of adding a new service, I guess, to Big Techs is our 3PL side. Mm-hmm. So like there's a lot of companies, like you said, that are really, really good at making stuff, but being really good at making stuff and shipping stuff is it's a whole nother aspect to it. So we're good at shipping stuff. So we're going to start moving off
of
that.
There's a lot more involved with it. I mean, software wise, like, the back end of it is pretty complex, I would say.
It's fun. The stuff that Jesse especially, the stuff that he has to deal with, because he's more involved in the production, manufacturing, administrative side of our business. So the amount of different things Jesse has to deal with in a single day, when you control wholesale all the way down, you know, to shipping, everything in between, all under one roof. You know, Jesse's fixing sewing machines. Jesse's fixing shipping software. Jesse's trying to, you know, fix the lasers that are cutting things, and, you know,
answering Steven's questions.
Yeah, dealing with taxes.
Are you the IT department as well?
Am I what?
Are you the IT department as well?
So we try not to have too much IT issues, I guess. Yeah. Like we don't have a whole lot of internal stuff. And I'm not good at that. I do. We have somebody that will come in.
That is my most favorite hat to be put on. I'm like, I hate all that. This stuff's going on. And be like, hey, we've got those two computer screens. Let me make our desk more efficient.
Like, well, I'm going to call you now.
Like that's here I go. And then I'm like, oh, well, that's more than I can do.
So I guess,
let me call our actual IT guy and pay him in gun parts.
I guess from that perspective, I mean, I do set up computers sometimes, but it's rarely very complicated, I guess.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying. Like that's the scale that I'm on. I'm like, you know, does it need another screen and a keyboard and a mouse to, all right, now let's coordinate this other mass marketing email to do this and this and this and make sure it's all integrated with the scale. So
I mean,
me and Jesse are going to go have some drinks together.
In the Blue Alpha shop, we have lasers, cutting machines, webbing cutting machines, a whole ton of different sewing machines, different styles of sewing machines. We have t-shirt printers, we have embroidery machines, we have 3D printers, and I'm sure I'm forgetting stuff as well.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different machines, and so one thing that we're working on, and I had a conversation, more of a private conversation with Kurt last year, where I was like, look, man, like, this is a lot to juggle at the same time. We're wanting to release a lot of new products. You know, we had kind of ran the same direction with media, where, you know, we got some outside help that a lot more proficient at some of the things that we're not as proficient at. So we did hire an engineer about 3 months ago, and he has been awesome. Like people, in fact, there's a guy that comes in our shop a lot, and he calls him, what does he call him? Jesse, new Jesse.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, so I'm old Jesse, I guess. Yeah, so, but
it's good to have a full-time nerd just doing nerd stuff
he's,
all day.
Yeah. But. And he's at the shop right now, and he's crushing it on all these things, all these projects that I know need to be done, and I know that it will improve our business, but it's like, I'm like dealing with taxes over here and tax strategy. And then like, there's even personnel issues that come up and stuff from time to time, and trying to get my head into doing R&D as well as like improving old processes and replacing old machinery and fixing them. I was like, okay, this is maybe a little bit much. Because if I walk through the shop floor, the odds that I'm going to get stopped for two different things that are emergencies is high.
Everything's a fire.
Yeah. It's like, hey, this thing's not working. I'm like, oh, well, it's like I better focus on that.
Yeah.
If we really need to get something done, you either go to your other office or you stay home. Mm-hmm. Like if the kids aren't there, and that's the same with me. Like, hey, yeah. I got stuff to do today. You won't see me.
No, we had the same we had the same thing. We bought we had a separate space. We called the R&D lab. That like if it's going to be a day of like, hey, we're working on projects 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm. we would leave and go to that space. So it's just mm-hmm. us, and we can just stay focused. Because, yeah. like I said, if I have to go down to the laser to swap something out because we cut something,
the chances, he's getting the questions.
Like the chances yeah. of something happening in between that there yeah. and back was pretty high. So yeah. we had another space to. Just be able to go work on it where it's just us that we could, you know.
Yeah, it's legitimately, I don't want to call it a problem, but it is like, if I need to get stuff done, I'm probably not coming into the office.
Yeah.
It's like, shut the door.
Well, you have to learn, I guess you sometimes have to learn to say, well, I can't focus on that right now.
Yeah.
I got to focus on this to get this done, and then I will come back to you. There's only so much that can go around sometimes. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes the machine will just have to sit broke for a minute.
yeah, and they break.
What's y'all's most? What are y'all looking forward to in 2024? I saw the little teaser. You showed me the thing.
You might want to ask that question to each person.
okay.
Jesse,
go ahead then.
So I think for me, on the engineering side, on the production side, I'm especially excited. We are doing things that I'm even scared to share some of the things we're doing because it's like, this is not common knowledge. This is not something most people know about. And we're pushing the boundaries of automation and sewing and
got some skunk works and stuff going on.
Nice. Yeah. So it's really neat. And, we're hoping to, you know, battle inflation to some degree too, because, you know, if we have to raise our prices, I mean, I don't want to do that. And if we can make our processes more efficient mm-hmm. and bring down the overall cost of making goods, we can still be competitive in this world. So,
The project I'm probably most excited about is we're coming out with a med pouch, the end of the year, and me being still in 10-year Army medic, it's just a really, hit close to home thing. And so that one, I think that one's going to be good because it's an extremely versatile design. It's not a, here's your pouch. It can do whatever. Like it will have multiple things it can do. It can fit, it can adapt to what your setup is when it changes. And so It's going to be very, very similar to our tourniquet design, is that we want it to be adaptable. That way, when things change, you're not like, well, what do I do with this now? Cause it doesn't fit with my current setup. So, but that one's really excited.
That's Steven's baby.
It is. I actually have one of the prototypes in the back. I'll show you guys.
Oh, cool. Cool.
So I'm kind of like split right between the both of them. Like I am kind of equally as excited about the new engineer and all that we're doing to kind of become more efficient, just like Jesse was saying. But then on the R&D side, we're becoming a lot better at R&D because that's
and releasing new products.
Yeah. We were so busy for so many years just trying to figure out, like, our R&D was how do we make more
of the same thing. We've already like
what machine will allow us to produce higher volumes. We need more volumes, more volumes. And then in the past year and a half, 2 years, we've been able to make the switch of like, how do we add product diversity? And now we're dealing with a different type of R&D where we're doing different products using different materials and trying to figure out how to become good at doing that and not, go in a million different directions and not actually like get a lot of traction. And I think this year is going to be a really great year for us from a R&D perspective, coming out with new products. We've done a lot of planning. I feel like we're kind of, I don't feel behind for the first time in a while on some of that stuff. I feel like we might actually even be a little bit ahead.
That's cool.
On product development and understanding what is important for the year. Instead of, we're being proactive instead of reactive. And we've been transitioning over the past few years from almost entirely reactive to becoming significantly more proactive in what we're able to do. So that's exciting for me. And it's kind of in some ways a a relief, but it's hard to say what specific thing is going to come out of that. That's going to be the most exciting for me. I think our med pouch is going to be pretty great, but there's a whole bunch of other ones that we're going to work on as well, and we'll kind of see how they turn out. So,
It's hard to know, like, what.
Yeah,
part of it is like it's a numbers game. Like, you come out with these products, and it's like, okay, these ones did well.
These ones did not.
Let's get rid of those ones.
And it's amazing that the ones that you didn't really think
you underestimate. Yeah.
Like, so we came out with a Molly strap of like, it's not one of the WTF straps and it's not a malice clip. It's like a in between. And that's been crushing it.
Yeah.
And it's just like an in-house design.
And we came up with that in like an afternoon.
Yeah. It was nothing.
It was me and Steven.
Like. Yeah. Because our rifle mag pouches ship with Easy Tape. And so it was like, well, if you want something a little more secure, here's like a Molly strap. And so we just made up our own, and that's just been doing really well. Cool. And it's just like, and then I never would have thought that.
Thigh straps. Like,
yeah.
Holster thigh straps. We were like, yeah, we should make one. We're not like, Steven and I aren't like guys who are like, we got to have thigh straps on us. Like, we were just like, yeah, okay, they have their place, you know, but we should make one. They're relevant. And then we sell a ton of them.
Like, that was me going through the warehouse of like, okay, what do we have? What can we make? What makes sense? Like, mm-hmm. I have a bunch of product of like, you know, material A. What could I make with it that makes sense that we already have, that we're not having to go out and buy additional product stuff, and source new materials? It's just
sourcing
like,
new stuff is expensive. Yeah. And it takes up room and all
like
that.
It started off with like dog collars and leashes. And then it was just like, oh, like dog collars, basically a thigh strap. And so we just tweaked it a little bit, and then that's been doing really well.
I'm sorry if you got a dog collar and not a thigh strap.
Which, I mean, hey, eat your own. We don't keep change.
Yeah. You know,
so. Yeah. So how'd you come up with the name Blue Alpha?
That was
more so, it is.
I was like, I rubber stamped it. Was like, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it is a not exciting story. I was going to start. I wanted to start an aerial photo video business. This is like,
man, this is like 2000.
This is like 2012, 2013.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
You know, cameras were just getting put on drones, and I was like, that seems cool because Jesse and I are, you know, and Steven are all aviation guys, and I'm for sure an aviation nerd. And you know, you tell me that I can have a drone that has a camera on it and fly around and see stuff. Like, that's interesting. How do I make that into a business? And so I was going to call it Blue Alpha. That was going to be the name of the aerial photography business. And then when we started our business, we went through a whole bunch of names, and I was like, well, there is this one. And we were like, well, yeah, we'll do that because there's like,
you want it to be generic. That's kind of my,
at that time we picked Blue Alpha. We didn't, this was before we even started sewing anything.
It was actually in 2015.
It was 2015.
And we started making holsters.
Yes.
So, and there's a little bit of a,
So yeah, it was when we were trying to figure out what we were going to be, like, what is our business going to be? The whole idea originally is, hey, we have these jobs as aircraft mechanics. What can we do as a side business?
Yeah.
What can we make or source or do something that we could sell on the side on like Amazon or something? Yeah. And then like, I could have money to buy ammo or buy an occasional gun and, you know, not have to feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And that's what it started as. And so, yeah, we just needed a name that was generic enough that it could be anything. And, you know, I've always joked, like, we could use that name and make like seat covers for Jeeps or whatever.
Yeah. It's,
you know, and the gun industry has
pumping business.
Yeah. The gun industry is full of super tactical names, and so we decided to not do that. And our logo has wings on it, and that's kind of a nod to our aviation background. So
nice. That's cool.
That's the kind of the history behind it. It's not an exceptional story, but it is the history. So
I think there's a lot of dudes in this industry, especially now, and especially in the circles that we travel in, that all started because they wanted to be able to like do their hobby mm-hmm. more, right? Yeah. Like, I can remember the first like six holsters I made, mm-hmm. and the seventh one, I was like, I'm not fucking doing this. Like, I bought all this stuff, and I still don't have anything that works. Mm-hmm. But that was like back when it was like a 3 to 6 month.
Yeah.
Wait right. to get a
That's
Raven
why there was tons of opportunity. Yeah.
There was a ton of opportunity. And we saw that. And so we started making holsters as well. And, you know, quickly realized it's a huge pain.
Yeah.
And also at the same time, a million people started basement holster businesses.
Yeah.
And not That's as many people got into basement sewing. And so that was kind of an advantage for us.
When we were, me and Madison were talking about, like, because we wanted to do something in the industry. And we looked at holsters. We're like, I really don't want to mess with that. And, mm-hmm. That was like 2013.
Yep.
A lot of people were starting to kick off in those couple of years. And we ended up starting with Cerakote.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we had looked at holsters. Everyone was looking at holsters at that time.
Oh, yeah. Well, because you could do it with, like, your toaster.
Yeah, exactly.
Your toaster oven.
There was a low entry. Yeah. That was 2010, 2011 for me, you know, like trying to make, I'm like, oh, look, this is my first mag pouch. It's absolutely horrible. Everything's in the trash. There's not a single movement to contact tactical holster out there. So then I started hosting training classes, mm-hmm. which led me here because you start meeting these mm-hmm. dudes, started meeting that dude, bring these guys in, started on there, meet these guys, and then... All because I wanted to not have to travel to take a class.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. We're in the same boat. We built our own gun range.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to travel to take a class.
Yeah. So, we need to come down.
Yeah, we would love to have you.
Yeah, we need to come down and check it out.
We built a pretty large gun range. It's a full L-berm that we've hosted vehicle classes and other stuff there over the past year. And it's been pretty nice because we've been doing – our own private classes. We do them during weekdays, so we don't have to travel on the weekends. Yeah. and you know, the wives, they love it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't have to be gone somewhere for the whole weekend.
You get to sleep in your bed.
Yeah.
Night.
For them, it's effectively like a normal work day.
Yeah.
Are y'all doing open enrollment at all, or y'all just keep it all in house?
It's keeping it in house. Just, invite only people that we know that are not in not a liability. Basically. When you get a bunch of strangers showing up at something and then, you know, even if someone's safe, but they're not really at the level they should be, that can kind of slow the class down.
Yeah.
So that is the downside to it, is it's kind of a pain for us because I have to go out and tell all my friends about what class we're hosting and then try to organize it all and do that. But it is nice that we're getting some people that, like, I'm going to a person that I know is capable of this class.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
it's also good for the instructor of, like, hey, like, we can vouch for everyone here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're not going to have the weird random where, like, that guy's going to put a rat in someone's foot.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're trying, we try to do, like, if an instructor's traveling through Atlanta for a class, like a Friday or a Saturday, Sunday class, we're like, hey, man, you want to teach a class on Thursday, Friday, or Monday, Tuesday? Make it convenient.
What we do
for
at the range. Like, we'll try and grab somebody just for a day to do like a little 4-hour, 8-hour block or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's the hardest part for traveling instructors is the traveling part.
Yeah, exactly.
It's their biggest expense. And
if all you have to do is get an extra hotel for, you know, one or two nights.
Then it's much more efficient for them.
It's really beneficial for them. Yeah. I mean, that's how we started really getting range time together years before I worked for you, dude. Mm-hmm. Like 2016, 2017, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, because I was working at a range I just knew these dudes. And I was like, hey, Scott, you're going to TTPOA in Houston. Come by the range and teach an 8-hour block for 5 dudes. What would that cost? Well, dude, I'm already there. Yeah. How about $250 each? Mm-hmm. All right. Then I'd email the 8 dudes that I wanted there and be like, can you get here on Friday? Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. And we'd have 5 dudes or 6 guys in a bay with, like, Scott Jelinski. All right. Frank, you know, Proctor, what the one-on-one time is at?
Yeah.
On that? It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And it works fantastic. But I do have to say, from our experience so far, like, marketing to our clientele and our customers, and, like, Joe Dawson's class that we had at the ranch last year, like, we showed up there, 20 students, 20 suppressed rifles.
Yeah, that was nice.
Everybody, like, there was, like, maybe one or two dudes there that were not, like, that knew somebody that came in out of the class, but they were still legitimate.
Everyone was pretty square.
Everybody was square away.
You can make a lot of progress having people who are all squared away.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, when everyone shows up with a suppressor, that is just, chef's kiss.
Yeah. Everybody was taking pictures. So like, this is cool, dude.
And it was Steven and I go to classes and like, there's like the one guy who's got like the muzzle brake and like, we're just be like, all right, we'll wait for him to figure out where he's going to go into, you know, on the firing line. And we're like, all right, we're going to go the opposite direction, be as far away from that guy as possible.
Yeah. I showed up in one class there at the ranch to take pictures one time. And everybody was suppressed except for the dude who was running the scope carbine class with like a 308 with a brake and a 14.5 barrel on it. And just it like shot machine. Three times. I'm like, oh, guys, I'm glad I'm not in class. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Have a good day. And they're like, come on, dude. Yeah. Like,
well, that's like we went to, was it last year? The Night Op Summit. We went to a buddy of ours.
Tom. Oh, yeah.
We were like, Todd, like, I met him at Shooter Symposium at first. And then we saw him at Greenland. I was like, oh, well, like, come on down here with us.
Come hang out.
I know because he had a suppressor in Texas. So, like, I know he's got one. And then he gets down there and he's like, oh, bro, I forgot at the house. And I'm like, what? And he's running like a 10.5.
Yeah, go somewhere else. And I was like, you are, like, man, we don't like you anymore.
Is it our friend Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was just like
Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
you had like a cherry bomb or something.
Yeah, it was just like awful. And it was just like, damn it, man. You're lucky I like you. If not, I would just leave you just on this side.
Yeah, it was a night vision class. So just muzzle flash, loud noise.
That's funny. That's too
flash bang going off.
Dude, it was insane.
Yeah. But yeah, it's that is, I guess, one of the biggest rewards of our successful business is being able to kind of take the stuff that we love doing, which is being out and training in all these classes, and make it more convenient for us. That's been a fantastic thing. And it's been nice to take some of our friends who are local, who wouldn't maybe be the type of person who would actually go travel somewhere for a class, but are competent shooters, and kind of bring them into that world of like really, really high end instructors and taking classes with them, and how rewarding and fun of an experience that can be. So highly recommended for people who are thinking about doing that, but haven't done it yet. Go find a good instructor who is well regarded, and take a 2-day class from them. And it's a fantastic experience. It's not cheap, but it's worth doing. It just kind of makes you a better person overall.
Mm-hmm. The side note, tell me about your 22. Your bolt action.
Oh, yeah.
Precision 22.
Yeah. That rifle kind of predates goes back to probably about the beginning of Blue Alpha. I've had that thing for a while, but it's just a Savage FVSR with a Boyd's wood stock on it. It's one of those things where you buy like a kind of cheap rifle, and then by the time you're done modifying it, you're like, wow, this is like a $900 22 now. What happened? This is one of my nicest rifle. But... And then you shoot it a bunch, you're like, no regrets. Like, a really fun, nice 22 bolt action rifle is still like one of the best things that you can shoot. I've shot a lot of really, really cool guns that, you know, people would drool over, you know, machine guns, belt feds. Even shot a suppressed 50 cal, M2 50 cal this summer, and at our range. And that's a really cool experience. But you can't go wrong shooting a suppressed 22 rifle, bolt-action rifle, especially if you've got some steel to shoot at.
It's
no hearing protection. You get to do that short little wait time, and then ting. And it's one of the best feelings. That day that we filmed that funny video, we were actually supposed to be doing something. We were supposed to film something else, but it was like, hey, let's quick shoot this 22 while we have it here at the farm. And then like an hour and a half went by, and we were like, oh, we need to like actually film something, because we were just caught up in the fun of it.
Yeah.
We were just having so much fun, like trying to spot, and like it's like 300 yards, and we're maxing the scope out.
And like, okay, it's maxed out. Hold it here. Hold the berm.
Yeah. Like, like hold the top of that tree to the left.
Yeah.
Then like you can barely see the target.
It's a long range 22 precision is a deal.
Yeah.
And you know those guys like shoot subsonic stuff?
Yeah.
Because it works better. It's more consistent.
Shoot subsonic. I'm not an expert, but I think it's, like when bullets go through that transonic phase, they become more unstable. And if they're if they're subsonic the whole time, it's just like throwing a rock really far. You know, you're lobbing it. But yeah. Like, if you get it right, like, they're going to end up in about the same spot every time. And it's super fun. And you can pretend like you're shooting really, really long range, but you're only shooting at like 200 yards.
But all the fundamentals are the same.
You're cranking the dials on everything, and it's super fun. You don't need ear pro, and you could go through a whole box of ammo for a few bucks.
Did you go to range day yesterday?
No, no. We've actually never been to range day.
Neither have I.
And I don't feel like I've missed out, because every time I look at video from it, it always looks miserable. Yeah. It is loud and cold and windy. And yesterday it was windy and rainy.
Huxworks has a really cool new I think it's titanium 22 can coming out. That's absolutely, from what I understand,
it's supposed to be silent.
No,
like, and very, very low.
Yeah. We talking like bolt guns or like?
Well, I mean, it'd have to be a bolt gun.
That's why I was like, yeah, we could do something with semi-autos here. That'd be really cool.
But we got a full auto 1022. Those are fun.
Yeah, it's those
like
are fun.
Little sewing machine is what it sounds like.
22 is like, just if someone ever grows out of enjoying shooting 22s, they need to like think deep into their soul and realize if they've just been able to stop having fun. Because
22s
should, they need counseling, because 22s are always fun every time for the rest of your life. And if they aren't, you're wrong.
I've got a guy that's sending us one. It's a precision 22. It's ridiculous what it is, but there's a market for it. Those guys, I mean, and that's one of the things that we're looking at, is like, what don't we carry right now that might be able to be the next thing? Because how many flat top ARs can one person own?
I mean, really, they should all have carry handles. Let's be honest.
Oh, here we go.
let's go.
Carry handle life over here.
Yeah. He really wants to. He's trying to really make himself feel old. He's like full carry handle gang. Like
100%.
He's in that carry bracket, handle. Man. The 35 to 44. You might as well.
Yeah, you're in that new age bracket. Right?
Apply for your AARP card now. Yeah.
He's transitioning from like an A1 or an A2 all the way back to like A1, like age bracket.
I'm working, like, I'm steady working on trying to get some A1 carry handles.
You should, because anyone who's done retro rifles in the past few years seems to do really well at them. And
although I will say,
I've been meaning to get one.
I'm going against the. I prefer the A2 over the.
Okay, we have those in stock right now. Well, Rock River.
Yeah, to go buy
some nice stripped uppers right now. Yeah. Hit me up. You got my contact.
Yeah.
What are we at right now?
Actually, we're just about there. We're at 59. So.
Cool. Well, then, real quick, ask Kurt to say bagel.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
Please say bagel, okay. Kurt.
What do I say? Bagel?
Bagel.
I don't see. Okay, so bagel. Just like I'm deaf to that word. Like,
okay.
10 people could say it 10 different ways, and it all sounds exactly the same to me. Like, I can't hear the differences. And apparently I say it like an idiot. So
Steven this morning and Kurt. So I'm sitting in the middle of them kind of, and I can't remember how it came up.
We were talking about like breakfast here or something. I don't know.
He said bagel.
Oh, like a bagel was me like $30 here or something like that. And he was like, and he said bagel. I was like, I'm sorry, what did you just say? And he's like, bagel. I was like, it's bagel. And then I was like, bagel. I was like, bagel. He goes, bagel. Like immediately afterward. And I couldn't. I lost it.
It was absurd.
Here's a question for
you.
So if you see a word that you've never actually heard pronounced, how easy is it for you to say that word correctly?
Chameleon.
So the trick to that is I just don't read. And if I never read anything, like, I never have that problem.
I'm not sure if you know about Georgia. We're pretty illiterate down there. So.
Serious question, because I've been –
Yeah, no.
The topic earlier that we're talking about, right, with my daughter, and like more testing and more stuff that we do with her, and there's all these little things that like we're going over, and she's like, this is why she does this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, I do that. You know, like this is, and one of those things, like if I've never heard the word pronounced, bro, I'm not going to say it.
Bro,
like somebody's name.
So, yeah.
My daughter's in second grade and having to teach her spell. One, English language sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I know this is the rule, except for this and this.
Yeah, except for all these other times.
Except for all these other times. Bro, like it makes me want to scream.
Yeah. It's very hard.
Because she gets so frustrated. I'm like, you are right on all the other times except for this one. And yeah. I don't know why to explain it to you why this doesn't follow that rule.
My son's in second grade, and it is actually charming at this point when he says a word that it is obvious that he only knows that word because he's read it. Yeah. He's never heard it before because they'll pronounce it in a hilarious way that makes sense if you've never heard it pronounced before. And it's like charming. It's like, oh, he learned that word from reading. He's never heard it. Anyone ever say it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The word that is so popular in our house, and I don't understand why, is literally. Like, my six-year-old is always saying it. I'm like, Charlie, kid, do you know what that means? Because you're using it in the sentence, and that's not at all literally what it means. Yeah. Like, come on. But it's so cute. Like, all right.
It's used to provide emphasis, but it's not how you're supposed to
use it. You can overemphasize.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And then, Yeah, and she's, and then you're like, I'm like downstairs doing something, and then I hear something fall, and I hear, motherfucker. Hey, Charlie? She's like, yeah, Dad? I was like, can we not? She's like, oh, yeah, that's the bad one, isn't it?
Like, I meant like, yeah. You used it correctly.
It was correct. It was correct, but remember, not around your grandmother, not around Dita, all right, and not at school. So it's okay to say motherfucker when I drop something at home? Yeah. Babe, it is, because I want you to be able to use it in appropriate context. Yeah. So there.
So I think we should probably propose something for Kurt. Like, I think we need to start spelling things phonetically for Kurt.
Yeah, maybe I'll need that.
So it's B A Y G L E or G U L. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah,
no, something like
me.
That.
Yeah, that would work. I don't know. Just tell me how it's said.
I'm just a victim of the English language. That's all I am.
Or just don't say bagel. Yeah. Or just don't say it.
Yeah, just
avoid the round dewy thing.
Yeah, like the other donut.
The donut. Yeah,
the chewy donut.
I want like the denser donut. You have one of those denser ones?
Yeah. They eat them in New York. I don't know.
That right there.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Which one?
Yeah.
Where are you from again?
Yeah.
On that topic. Yeah. We appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It's always fun to talk to you guys.
Oh, yeah. Cool. And if you've watched the entire podcast, let us know in the comments what you think about it. If you don't like what we talked about, then
or
let us know
Kurt
about
says
that too.
Bagel.
Let us know how you pronounce bagel. Like, we want to know. Or if there's... guys. It's fun. It's fun, now, right?
We're all having fun. We're all having fun.
And where can if they don't know where to find you, where can they find you?
So we are on BlueAlphaBelts.com is the website, and we are on Instagram and Facebook at Blue Alpha or at Blue Alpha Belts, and find us there. And if there's something you want us to make in R&D this year, if there's something you want Blue Alpha to provide, let us know what it is.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching or listening.